I'm Jeremy Barron, and this is Culture Narrow Chat, the only weekly English language podcast dedicated to Atletico Madrid and the official podcast of Into the Calderon, SB Nation's home for all things Atletico. My guest on this edition of Culture Narrow Chat, making his standard Monday appearance on the program, is Into the Calderon staff writer Rob Walker. Rob Walker is the guest on this edition of Culture Narrow Chat. San Iker? Who's that? We're talking about San Oblak. In the aftermath of Sunday's Madrid derby, finished 1-1 at Estadio Santiago Bernabeu. The point secured in large part because of Jan Oblak's heroics. Atletico outshot 30-9, but Atleti's goalkeeper making some incredible saves to secure that point and keep his side 4 points clear of Madrid in second place. We'll discuss and debate all things derby, including Cristiano Ronaldo's stunning, I tell you, 63rd-minute substitution, just 10 minutes after he had put Real Madrid ahead. How Antoine Griezmann responded to that strike. That includes a conversation about his Fortnite-inspired celebration. Diego Simeone's aggressive team selection, a surprise start for Vitolo, who assisted the aforementioned Griezmann goal. Whether it truly is better to be lucky than good, whether Atletico were actually lucky rather than good, and we'll try to extrapolate this result and view it in the bigger picture. This particular derby may have meant more to Atletico than it did to Real Madrid, but as Atletico are now on course to finish second in La Liga, what does that say about Atletico's future? We'll talk about all those things and more, including a Europa League quarterfinal second leg preview as Atleti travel to Lisbon to take on Sporting Clube de Portugal, who, following a brief moment of madness from their president, played with their first team players on Sunday and will do so again on Thursday. Finally, at the very end of the pod, a big announcement about a future Culture Narrow Chat episode. You're not going to want to miss it, so stick around to the very end. Before we begin, however, a couple housekeeping notes. As ever, please subscribe and listen to Culture Narrow Chat on your favorite podcasting platform. That includes Apple Podcasts. Leave a rating and review. Really helps us out. Gets more eyes and ears on the program. And head over to the Patreon page, patreon.com/culturenarrowchat. Become an amigo for as little as $1 a month. You'll get some awesome benefits. And head over to the Patreon page to check out what those benefits are, patreon.com/culturenarrowchat. We will be back with Rob Walker after this.
You're going through, so I feel you. I feel you, Peg.
I can't wear jeans anymore. This is so sad.
I'd like to stop wearing jeans, but I have no choice.
That's true. Yeah, yes. Like stop wearing layers. Die.
Yeah, exactly.
So maintenance hasn't been here yet to fix the wall. I told you like last night that maintenance is gonna be here. So what happened was my upstairs neighbors had like a blown gasket, which was leaking into my shower in my apartment.
Oh Lord!
So maintenance had to come in like scrape the wall and you know make sure it wouldn't leak. So they haven't fixed the wall yet. They haven't been here today. If maintenance arrives, we will have to debut the Culture Narrow Chat hold music.
Very good. Very good.
I wish you were under better circumstances, but this is life.
Well, gotta fix that leak. That's important.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not preferable. Also.
Yes, no, absolutely.
Also, I am setting the stage for a big announcement, Rob. A big announcement at the end of this edition of the show.
Just a bit of a teaser there.
Yes. But it's coming at the end of the show, a big surprise announcement.
So, exciting.
But let's actually do the show first.
Yes, let's.
Before we get into the derby and on all that awesome stuff, let's do the whip around real quickly. Very, very good weekend in La Liga. We have one game today kicking off in about half an hour, Villarreal and Athletic. That could actually be a pretty good game. But other than that, the rest of the action has been concluded. On Friday, really good game at the Riathor. Depor 3, Malaga 2. Depor had to take the lead 3 times, but they got the win. It looked like it would matter for a little while. Ended up not really mattering. Adrian, our boy, scoring twice for Depor.
Yeah, I think both of those are going down.
Yeah, that it looked good for a day, but then Sunday came in, it wasn't so good anymore. Alaves, 2-0 winners over Getafe on Saturday. That was the early game Saturday. And then Sevilla being Sevilla, they go to Celta. They get pasted 4-0. Iago Aspas scoring a hat trick. Not really a great warm-up for them as they go to Munich this week. I fear for them.
Yeah, I mean, has there been a more hot and cold team in La Liga this season? I mean, and in Europe as well. I mean, they knocked us out of the cup. They knocked out Manchester United, but then they've also been terrible and conceded an absolute ton of goals.
It's so weird. I cannot figure out this Sevilla team. I haven't been able to at all.
It must be damn frustrating to be a Sevilla fan.
Yeah, it has to be. It's just been a nutso season for them. Real Betis, 2-0 winners over Eibar. That is Betis' fourth straight win, their third straight clean sheet. They're up to fifth. Amazing.
Yep, it looks like they're going to make that push for Europe, and I'm happy for them because they've certainly been one of La Liga's most entertaining sides.
Always watch Betis.
Yes, absolutely.
It's very good for them. Barcelona 3-1 winners over Leganés. Lionel Messi scored a hat trick, etc. Sunday, big early game between Levante and Las Palmas. That this result meant the Depor result did not matter. Levante 2-1 winners over Las Palmas. A late goal from Jose Campaña. A 90th minute goal, seeing 9-man Levante to victory. It's 5 unbeaten for them now, and they are 8 points clear of the drop.
That's a massive win for them.
They are going to be safe. Las Palmas now 10 points adrift of safety. The bottom three is just about set with 7 weeks to go. I really didn't think we'd have a worse bottom three than last year, but here we are with Depor, Las Palmas, and Malaga.
Yeah, this bottom three has been terrible all year. I mean, sometimes the teams that go down, you feel like, oh, they were a little bit unlucky, but not really with these.
No, it really has not been that way. These three have been pretty bad all year.
And all of them have their different problems, which is exciting for them, I'm sure.
Very exciting. The solution's very easy for those three teams.
Yes, I think Malaga might be the most screwed of all of them, though.
Yeah, you could make that argument. You certainly could with how thrifty they are. Las Palmas, though, aren't in much better shape.
True.
They'll be looking at a fifth manager in a year if they go down.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know if they're going to keep them around. It doesn't seem like it based on their past track record, but it's a shame to see them go down. I mean, in the time that they've been in the first division, they've been quite good. Generally to watch, not this year, but last year especially, they were quite good.
Oh yeah, last year when Setien was there, they were playing some of the best football in the top flight, and then this is where they are now. It's kind of sad.
Yep, very sad, and they lost an absolute ton of players, so.
Yeah, they did.
These things happen.
Real Sociedad 5, Girona 0 at Anoeta. I don't know where this La Real team has been all season, but they definitely showed up against Girona, who really have some pretty bad losses away from home. Got hit for 6 against Barcelona, hit for 6 by Real Madrid, hit for 5 against La Real on Sunday evening. Very good from Real Sociedad. My son, Mikel Oyarzabal, scoring twice. Valencia, slightly lucky 1-0 winners over Espanyol in the late game. Rodrigo scoring the game's only goal. Valencia into third ahead of Real Madrid. Barcelona, keep marching on. They're at 79 points, 11 points clear of Atletico. Valencia in third on 65, although Atletico have the head-to-head over Valencia in addition to overall goal difference. Real Madrid in fourth. That's nice to say. Real Madrid in fourth on 64 points, although they are 15 clear of Real Betis. You can't get everything.
Yeah, it's pretty great. Hey, not too bad of a weekend. All things considered.
It was not, and we have a pretty entertaining Madrid derby to discuss, Rob. So let's dive right into that. Real Madrid 1, Atletico Madrid 1. 1-1 at the Bernabeu. San Oblak. I think we have to start with the goalkeeper, who made some truly remarkable saves look remarkably easy.
Yeah, he was tremendous. Atletico would have been in a whole lot of trouble without him.
Oh, man. Yeah, he was phenomenal. I think the Ramos save from his free kick at the end, that one was super.
And the one from Rafa Varane as well was pretty crazy.
Yeah, kind of having to smother that ball the way he did. I think the best save he made was after Marcelo hit woodwork, and then Lucas Vasquez had the follow-up, and he just had to kind of contort his body to just push it away. That, I think, was his best save of the day. But you can't go wrong picking any of these.
No, absolutely not. But they gave up a couple of pretty good chances, I think, and all things considered, they gave up a ton of shots, but I don't think too many of them were, you know, like clear-cut opportunities. I think they had a lot of kind of frustration shots to Real Madrid, so I think that was somewhat encouraging, but when a team takes that many shots against you, it's a little bit like, oh, God, they took 30 shots against us.
Yeah, that's kind of the thing. Atletico were outshot 30-9 in this game, but it didn't really feel like Madrid took 30 shots.
It didn't.
A lot of them were low quality. I mean, for a team that took 30 shots, Madrid's expected goals in this game was 2.33. That's not a lot considering that shot total.
Yeah, exactly. And they scored from a pretty low percentage chance as well. So, in theory, but it's Cristiano Ronaldo, so he should probably get an XG boost on all the shots. But, you know, whatever. But yeah, I think they did well. The defense, which was very makeshift, did a good job to not give away too many really good chances.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I want to phrase this. I guess low block voodoo magic is what I'll call it.
Mm-hmm. This was the Simeone special.
Yes, Madrid 69% possession, 30 total shots, which is a lot. 8 of them on target. And 21 shots from inside the box, but they weren't, as we mentioned, that they weren't really high quality chances, despite, you know, a lot of opportunities from in and around Oblak.
Yeah, that's right. And the chances they did create were scary, but their best opportunities, Oblak was there to save them. So,
it was very scary. Nerve-wracking, and very scary.
Especially when once it was 1-1, it was after that it was very, very tense for the rest of the match.
Oh yeah, were you surprised at how quickly Atletico responded to Cristiano's goal?
In a way, yes, but also I think I would worry that had they not responded so quickly, they might have struggled to get an equalizer. Mm. If that makes sense, I'm not sure going into the late game. Because really, Atletico didn't create too many opportunities, so they desperately needed to take their chances, and they did, thankfully. That's a tough one.
Both teams had chances. I think the draw is a fair result. Honestly, there was some talk that as immediately after the game ended, had a post go up that said Real Madrid denied two clear penalties. I'm like, oh great, here we go. But you know, both teams, I think, had chances to win. Both goalkeepers made great saves. Keylor Navas making that save on Koke almost immediately after Griezmann scored. That was a gigantic moment. And I think a draw is a fair result. But, yeah, you get the sense that maybe if Atletico hadn't responded so quickly, they might not have responded at all.
Yeah, that would be just us talking about different scenarios, but I think they did really well when they did get the chance to counterattack. I thought some of their counterattacks were really good. I was very sad that the Griezmann touch where he just took it out of the sky beautifully. I was sad that didn't end up in a goal because that was gorgeous.
Yeah, he brought it down. He just killed it dead and flung it through to Correa. But yeah, his ball was just. Not enough precision on it. Flew right past Correa. He never had a chance.
Correa was just a couple steps behind. Yeah.
Yeah. If it had been placed better, then Correa would have tapped in easily to make it 2-1.
Yeah, I think that was a pretty good chance, but obviously that didn't end up in a shot. So, but that was a good chance as well. But you know, I think I agree with you. I think it was a fair result.
Yeah, but then 10 minutes later, Ramos could have scored twice. Bale had a header from about the penalty spot that went just wide of the post. Bale was great, by the way. So you have these chances going both ways. I think the draw is probably the right result, and it's also I think it's a good result for Atletico.
Oh, I think Atletico is absolutely the happier team with the draw. Mm. Absolutely. I think it kind of solidifies them in second place. And with Valencia winning as well, that's huge.
Yeah, it's basically 4 points over both Valencia and Real Madrid because, as I mentioned in the whip around, Atletico have the head-to-head advantage and the overall goal difference advantage over Marcelino's men. So, yeah, the more chaos there is beneath Atletico, the better. And Valencia go to Barcelona next week, by the way. So they likely won't be third for long.
Yes. So, you know, they and Real Madrid can duke it out for third and fourth. That's fine by me.
Yeah, that's I'm good with that. I mentioned
that's not something I want to be involved with.
I mentioned low block voodoo magic earlier. I have a couple statistics for you regarding touches. Antoine Griezmann, 21 of his 47 touches were in his own half. You usually don't like to see that. But no, Griezmann played great yesterday. And Godin, of his 42 touches, 11 of them, so that includes clearances, blocks, the like, 11 of those touches were within 12 yards of Oblak.
Yeah, if you have a look at the heat maps for this match on Who Scored, which I highly recommend everyone does, because the Atletico heat map, the only red spot on it is in the six-yard box. So that's where the vast majority of the touches were.
Yeah, seriously, the last 15 minutes of the game, 8 or 9 Atletico players in the box at all times. Like,
yes.
All right, everyone in, Simeone just putting the barricades up, and it worked. Atletico got the draw, and they still have not lost at the Bernabeu in La Liga since 2012.
And I actually don't mind him doing that in this situation, given that, you know, obviously Real Madrid are a very good team, but also given how low we are on defensive players at the moment, with Savic and Juanfran, who really haven't played that much this season or recently, it's kind of worrying that they were starting. But they did a good job, and I think that kind of barricading strategy worked given the circumstances.
I was just going to say, both of them played pretty well. Juanfran, you know, it's we have been saying this for a while that he's lost like 2 or 3 steps. But no, he handled himself pretty well in a very tough matchup against Marcelo, who's one of the best left backs on the continent. Not having his best season, but Marcelo is still very, very, very good. Juanfran made 6 clearances, Savic made 8 clearances, and just a bunch of other interventions. Then again, with Savic and Godin playing together, you invite all this pressure. Maybe if Jimenez were healthy and playing, you would have seen a different shot total. Whatever the case may have been, the shot total was what the shot total was. I don't think Simeone is going to mind too much, considering Atletico got out of there without losing.
Yeah, and I think after the game, he of course, I mean, every manager says this, but he was upset to not win it. But I think a draw is fair. I think either side winning would have felt a little bit harsh, given how the game played out. But it was two sides that know what they're about, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I think you intimated this earlier, like the meaningfulness of this particular edition of El Derby. It meant more to Atletico than it did to Real Madrid, who are gunning for a third straight Champions League, gunning for a third straight European Cup. Atletico have the Europa League to worry about, but Atletico have only finished above Madrid in the table once this century. And a result here, just not losing at the Bernabeu, would have gone a long way towards securing second place, and that is what happened. I mean, right now, Atletico are, and considering the upcoming fixtures, Atletico are probably odds on to finish second. So that's where, for me at least, the meaningfulness of this game lies, is that Atletico can finish above Los Blancos, and you're not going to win the league like they did in 13-14, but still finishing ahead of them. That is a big deal.
Well, not only that, it's that Atletico continue their admittedly pretty good domestic record against Real Madrid. Notice I say domestic.
Let's not talk about that.
The domestic record is actually quite solid, given how bad it was just a few years ago. So it's good to keep that undefeated run in domestic competition going nicely. I think it was an interesting match. I wish that there was more to play for, if that makes sense. As much as I didn't want this game to be any more stressful. It would have been nice if these two teams had a chance at the title, but they don't. So
yeah, there was that sense, that sentiment of, you know, this is a decaffeinated quote unquote derby without really a whole lot to play for, considered relative to all the big matches these two teams have played against each other the last few years. You know, you had a Champions League semifinal last year, a Champions League final the year before that, a Champions League quarterfinal the year before that, and various other league derbies that either impacted Madrid possibly winning the league, that aided Atletico in finishing top three or winning the league the year they won the league. But this still had meaning to it, and it was a very intense and very entertaining game for one that supposedly didn't have much meaning, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I think it certainly wasn't a dead rubber, there's a lot of meaning. It just didn't have any implications for the title race.
Yeah. Atletico, 4 wins, 5 draws, just 1 defeat in the last 10 Madrid derbies in La Liga. That's pretty good.
It's damn good, considering how one terrible loss, it was.
One loss in the last 10 league derbies, and Simeone has made this a rivalry again.
Absolutely.
He's made it a rivalry that it really never was. And, you know, obviously we weren't around in the Aragonés days, but this is one of Simeone's greatest accomplishments, is that he's made the Madrid derby a proper derby. It has to be like the fiercest intra-city rivalry in Europe. Like, the Manchester derby can't hold a candle to this.
Definitely not. I mean, I think most Manchester United fans would say they hate Liverpool more than they hate City, really.
Yeah, yeah.
But, so, yeah, no, I agree. I think at this point it certainly is. I'm trying to think, but I don't think there really is one that's as volatile as that one. I mean, yeah, not really. But, and especially given their European success, both clubs in the last few years, they've been extremely dominant. So, very good.
Yeah, a couple questions from Sporting Heejan on Patreon at patreon.com/cultsnarrowchat. Then we'll get to the big picture stuff. Sporting Heejan says, "It's still bothering the heck out of me. What do you think of the way Diego Costa was used in the derby? I'm not sure why he was pulled so early, and certainly Griezmann didn't have nearly as much space to work with once he was off the pitch. I can't help but wonder if, A, Simeone pulled him early because he saw Cristiano leave and couldn't resist the chance at another secret encounter with his favorite mistress, the 1-1 draw, and B, whether or not Atletico could have scored a second goal and won if Costa had played another 10 to 15 minutes. Before we answer that, am I the only one who was, like, absolutely flabbergasted that Zidane withdrew Cristiano?
I was floored, because I had gone to the bathroom, and when I came back, and I saw I'd been... And no, seriously, I came back, and I looked, and I was like, Cristiano Ronaldo got subbed off. Well, he has to be injured. Well, he has to be injured.
That was my first thought. Like, no, this was apparently planned.
Yeah, and that was bizarre to me.
Wow. Like, I still can't believe it. Like, I understand...
That's ridiculous.
I understand giving him rest. I understand... He's 33 years old now. I understand that the league doesn't matter so much to Real Madrid. I get all that. But you can rest him Wednesday. You have a 3-0 lead on Juventus. You can rest him Wednesday, play him next weekend. Or you can can sub him off against Juventus. That was just a weird decision, and I wonder if he'd stayed on the pitch if Madrid would have won. Like, that was insane to me.
I mean, especially given his record against Atletico, which is pretty decent.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
So, I was very, 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 very happy to see that he had gone off.
I was like, and Benzema's on in his place? All right, great, a traffic cone in place of Cristiano Ronaldo. Like, great.
Yeah, exactly. Benzema having, like, his worst season in 10 years. Oh, bring him on for Ronaldo, please.
He was dreadful yesterday. And then Zidane just brought on midfielders after that, Modric and Isco. Like, okay, that's great, but who's going to finish chances? Like, these guys can create the chances. Who's going to finish them? Yeah, Zidane's team and changes didn't make a whole lot of sense to me yesterday. I thought Simeone was much more aggressive, and Simeone did a much better job in that facet. But let's get to Sporting Heejan's first question here. What did you think of how Costa played and how he was used?
He didn't have a huge impact. I mean, obviously, it works best. We know this, for him to play alongside Griezmann. I think it does benefit Griezmann. But I don't think he had the greatest game. But I do agree with Sporting Heejun that if he had been on, there would be more of a chance that Atletico could have gotten a winner, because with one of these opportunities that they create late in the game on a counterattack, Diego Costa's the guy you want to be there. But given he's kind of had some kind of worrying injury stuff, you know, I get it. It didn't infuriate me.
Yeah, that of Simeone's three changes, that was the one I didn't like the most. I mean, I liked bringing on Gamero inside the final 10 minutes. That was aggressive. I liked it. And his first change was Correa for Vitolo, which was like for like, and we'll talk about Vitolo in a minute. But Gabby for Costa, I didn't really like that. I thought it did invite more pressure. I thought it would invite more pressure. I thought Griezmann and Correa together up top, is just, they're too similar. We've discussed that this season before, that they're two very similar players, and the space is a bit more constricted. It's a bit tighter. With Costa out there, you can hoof long balls up to him, and he'll go and get them. That's what Atletico did super effectively against Sporting in midweek, in like that throwback to 2013-14, just hoofing long balls up to Costa. He holds up play, and he's just a whirling dervish around the goalkeeper. This game was a bit different. I do think I don't know for sure, this is a little bit of speculation, but maybe he is battling an injury or two. I mean, he always looks like he's grimacing. Like, he's always grimacing. Oh, yeah. He's always getting up slowly, always limping. But perhaps he's not, like, 100% fit. Perhaps there is something. And you also have Europa League midweek. You have a tie that is mostly over, but not entirely. And you will need him on Thursday in Lisbon. Yeah, I didn't love how he was used. I thought the supply that he got Thursday wasn't quite there, because Atletico had to play differently. Atletico could not take the initiative like they did Thursday.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I thought I didn't mind really too many of the substitutions. Like I said, I didn't mind the Costa substitution, but bringing on Gabby for him, I thought, was not the best idea. I mean, Gabby was on for, what, 19 minutes and had 7 touches.
Yeah.
It's like,
If you bring on Gamero for him, it's different. It's not like for like, right. But it's a forward for a forward. You put Gamero and Correa up top, you drop Griezmann behind him. Like, that's the trio that pounded Levante earlier this season. That's the trio that hasn't played that much together, but has played well when they have. And they're three kind of smaller, speedy, dynamic guys who, if you want to counterattack, you know, that's a pretty good trio to have when you counterattack. It was a weird one. I think Costa played fine. He had that really good one-on-one chance with Navas in the first half that Navas parried away. Then he fouled Ramos in the box a few minutes before that. And he had the ball in the net, but he fouled Ramos beforehand, which was fine. I like that. Fouling yes, Sergio Ramos is always good.
Yes, absolutely. It's one of our favorite things.
Yeah, he didn't get the supply because Atletico couldn't play the way they played against Sporting. And Atletico didn't have much possession against Sporting either, but they took the initiative through long balls, through those kinds of deliveries. He just didn't get much supply. That was kind of the issue there.
Yeah, and Varane and Ramos are two quite large human beings, so that kind of limited the effectiveness of the long ball at times.
Yeah, they're
both quite good in the air.
They're also better than Sebastian Coates and Jeremy Mathieu, just a little better.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Just a little bit better than that tragic duo.
Yeah.
Sporting Heejun also.
No,
go ahead.
No, sorry, go ahead.
His second question, thoughts on Griezmann's Fortnite take the L celebration. He is not a fan.
He's not a Sporting Heejun is not a fan.
He is not a fan of the celebration. I loved it.
Yeah, it was alright. I don't go in hugely pig for a lot of Griezmann celebrations, but, you know, that's whatever. On brand for Griezmann.
Yes, it is extremely, extremely on point and on brand. Yes. I haven't played much Fortnite, but I thought this was hilarious. I thought this was doing it at the Bernabeu, absolutely hilarious. I'm totally Griezmann at heart is like a troll.
Very much so.
Yeah, whether he's talking about going to another club or what he's celebrating, or, you know, what he tweets, controversial or otherwise. Griezmann is kind of a troll. He likes to debate. And I thought this was great. I thought that this was banter.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was funny. Yeah, that's fine. I appreciate it because it's Griezmann. Not too many players really are that silly on the pitch, and I do kind of like that.
Yeah, he's got charisma. He's got character, personality. You know, I like that.
It's just a game, so yeah. I'm glad to see him celebrating. Like, it's fun. So, yeah, good.
Gotta have fun.
And it's his daughter's birthday, which he does always score for.
Yes. That's 2 years in a row. 3 years in a row he scored at the Bernabeu. 2 years in a row he scored on his daughter's birthday at that stadium. So,
man likes to be motivated.
Awesome. Maybe he should have more kids.
Yeah, exactly.
Vitolo, surprise entry into Simeone's 11. I had kind of thought this was coming after Thursday because Correa really didn't play well. And he played all 90 minutes. So I kind of figured that Simeone might spring the surprise. I didn't actually think he would. But I kind of thought that he would think about it. He would think it over. What did you think of Vitolo's play?
I thought it was a quite good decision to start him. Like you, I didn't think Simeone would actually do it. But I thought it was a decent start from him. I think his presence in this match was very valuable just because he can do a lot of different things very well, and because he's so hardworking, even if his passes and whatever isn't coming off, he's still going to give you that hard work that Simeone loves. So, yeah, I thought he was solid, and I thought his assist for the goal was excellent as well.
I initially
really showed the hard work as well as kind of the vision.
Yeah, watching it live, I actually didn't think it was intentional. Like, I just thought the ball had kind of, like, landed there, and Vitolo was fouled, and it could have been a penalty. But then I watched that replay and like, oh, it was totally intentional. It was a really clever cutback to just put it on a plate for Griezmann.
Yeah, and I don't think the Real Madrid defense expected that at all because it seemed like he was going down, but he managed to flick it into Griezmann's path.
Yeah, I think it was Ramos who had sagged off. He was trying to clog up the middle in front of Navas, but Griezmann was left unmarked and he just took up the ball and scored. It might have taken like a slight deflection off Ron's foot, but that was secondary. He was unmarked. It was clearly Atletico's best chance of the game. I think it was like worth 0.5 expected goals. So more often than not, those go in.
Yeah, it was a great setup by Vitolo. And I think slowly he's kind of getting more integrated into the team.
Good.
I think it has taken him a long time. But I think, you know, Costa obviously had the advantage of he's been here before. He knows most everyone around the place, but Vitolo was still kind of tough for him since he was at Las Palmas the first half of the season. It's understandable it's taken him a little while, but I'm glad to see that he's kind of coming through now.
Yeah, and he was pulled on the hour. I thought was slightly harsh, but Correa, you know, is like for like, and Vitolo playing 90 minutes in the Madrid derby on a yellow card with like 4 fouls already, probably not the best decision.
Yeah, exactly. He's got his misfortune of getting red cards.
He's got to stop fouling. That's kind of something he's got to work on. Like, his work rate is admirable. He's always active. He's always busy. And Simeone loves that. He craves it from his wide players. Like, that's what Arda Turan did a lot before Arda got awful and, you know, fat and, you know, harassing journalists.
Yes.
Before Arda became
and
a terrible.
Many other things.
Before Arda became a bad player and a worse person. But, yeah, this just constant activity and constant hustle and bustle from Vitolo, that is what Simeone needs from his wingers. But he's got to stop fouling. He's got to be able to stay on the pitch. But once he does that, he'll
Simeone
be really
teams
good.
Will always tread that line between getting too many fouls and getting just the right amount. So,
speaking of fouls and controversy, though, there was some, and we'll talk briefly about it. Madrid, as I mentioned earlier, had 2 penalty appeals. One of them for a Juan Fran Toni Kroos collision in the box. The other one I don't expressly recall. I think it was Godin, like, and Lucas Vasquez, maybe.
Yeah, I don't think either of them were penalties, to be honest with you.
I don't even remember the second one, so I can't say it's a penalty or not. But the first one, yeah, it was just an unfortunate collision. I think Juan Fran was going for the ball, but he just lost his momentum. And at any rate, Asensio hit the post like immediately after.
Right, Well, and I think that kind of in a game of this magnitude and given how the two sides play, I think it was refereed fairly well because Atletico are always going to go in hard and Madrid are always going to try to dive and get a penalty. Mm. So I think it kind of in those chances, you had a little bit of the Atletico player going in too hard and you had a little bit of the Madrid player going over a little too easy. So, you know, I think it was, you know, obviously I preferred them not to give a penalty and I prefer it when games don't have penalties. So, yeah, I was pretty pleased with that. I think the more contentious one was the Vitolo.
The offside call, I was just going to mention that. Yeah, was egregious. That was absolutely inexplicable. That call was absolutely terrible. I thought
it was wrong on like two counts.
Right. I thought that they were, you know, flagging it down because the ball went out of play. And I thought that the ball did go out of play, but no, it was in play. Vitolo was in his own half. He couldn't have been offside. Like, Jesus.
And Spain. He was onside, even if the rules said that you had to be onside in your own half, he would have been onside.
Yeah, he's onside anyway.
So, exactly. So, doubly wrong there, which, you know, one mistake I can understand, but if you make two mistakes on the same play, it's like, come on, are you watching?
it's Spain, but, man. They just want to go home and get some tapas.
Yeah, well, fair enough. but, you know, I don't really, you know, there's no point in arguing about refereeing decisions. Everyone's going to feel it should have gone one way, whatever side you're on. So
right, if you have to blame the referees for a result, then you probably didn't deserve the result anyway.
Yeah, I think a lot of that kind of came from their frustration of they've had the vast majority of the ball and the vast majority of the shots, but didn't win it.
Across both Madrid derbies this season, the expected goals, according to Understat, Real Madrid 3.74, Atletico 2.06. First derby ended 0-0, this one ended 1-1. And that kind of leads me into like the last like big picture question about this game, kind of extrapolating it toward the future a little bit. Were Atletico more lucky rather than good in the two derbies this season and catching Madrid in what is pretty clearly a down year for them, or is this a sign that there's something more like percolating here for the future?
It's interesting. I think, you know, one thing about the team that played today, several of these guys aren't going to be around next season, and some of them aren't very good either, or are old. So, you know, I think it was a very good Simeone performance. I don't think really Atletico were lucky in either game. I thought the 0-0 draw at home, I thought that was also fairly deserved. I think of the two, they were more lucky in this most recent match. But in both cases, I don't think that they were fortunate to get draws out of both of those. And even though, like I say, this is a down year for Real Madrid, they are still in the latter stages of the Champions League and have won two Champions Leagues in a row. So they're still a pretty solid team, even if they're having a bad season domestically.
Is it a cop-out if I say both? Because it kind of is a little bit of both. I mean,
yeah.
Real Madrid don't have this kind of domestic season all that often anymore. Like, they used to, but not so much anymore. Yeah, they have been unlucky at times, and Atletico have been lucky at times this season. But, yeah, I think both derbies, I think they both deserve to end in draws, right? Like, the 0-0 at a stadium called Wanda was really, at the time, I think we called it thrillingly dull. That kind of described that game. It was really dull. The very best chance of the game was at the very end, and Lucas Hernandez blocked the shot from Cristiano in spectacular fashion. And this game was a lot crazier. This game was a bit more frantic, especially in the final half hour when both teams have had chances, but neither could finish and neither could get past the goalkeepers. So I think both games deserve to end in draws, but you know, I'm going to say it's a little bit of both. I do think that Atletico have competed much better this season than they did last season, particularly against the top six. Last season, Atletico won only 2 of 10 against other teams in the top six. This year,
I feel much better about this season than last season. Last season was a bit painful at times.
Yeah, Atletico against the top six last season, 2 wins, 2 draws, 6 defeats. This season, 3 wins, 5 draws against just 2 defeats.
Yeah, I think, you know, if we're looking over the course of the whole season, yes, in the early parts of the season, Real Madrid were unlucky. But now, in the second half of the season, Cristiano Ronaldo has woken up from his deep slumber, and they're now getting a little bit more lucky. So it all evens out. I'm more confident in this squad. I think we've seen some really good progress, not just with the team that played on Sunday, but I think we've seen some good progress, and hopefully they can continue to get better as a team after some people leave and maybe some people get replaced or move on, as I'm sure we'll talk about.
It's worth noting that, as you know, we talked about the 4-1-0 wins against Depor and Malaga and the shithousery that went into those wins. But it's also worth noting that this team, against Barcelona and Madrid, played them 4 times this season, goal difference of -1. And that was the 1-0 at Camp Nou.
They're getting pretty good at this whole defending thing.
Yeah. 1-1 draw at home against Barcelona, 1-1 draw away to Madrid, 0-0 draw at home to Madrid, and the 1-0 loss away at Barca. So it's the margins are much tighter than they were last year. This is a better team than they were last year. And it's weird to say, because there wasn't really a whole lot of turnover. And there were times this season when Atletico were just playing bad or just playing really bad football. But there has been
growth here. They ground out some results in that first part of the season.
They really had to dig deep. And that was where some of the luck came into play. Again, certainly in some of those games against Celta, against Depor the first time. Mm. Yeah, there was certainly some luck at play there. Like, you don't have 9 1-0 wins in a season, you know, without getting a touch of, you know, a rub of the green.
Yes, exactly. But you know, they've also been good.
They've also been good.
And they make their own luck. They make their own luck with the way that they play, and they're used to doing this. It's not like they're just holding on for dear life in every game because they can't do anything else. This is what they do because some of the players are quite good at it.
Yeah. Yeah, they've just been... They only have 1 more win against the top 6 this season than they did last season, but they've been much more competitive. And that's where you see the growth. Absolutely. That's where you see the development.
I'm still annoyed about that Barcelona match, because even up to that point, Atletico were in the title race, realistically, if they had come out of that game, honestly, probably without losing, but they didn't, it was over. But yeah, I think they were up in the title race right until the end of that match, so...
Last thing, Stefan Savic is going to get a place on the Legends Walk, Rob. 100 Atletico appearances.
Wow, has it been that long already?
Felt just like yesterday.
I don't know if it feels like yesterday or if it feels like 20 years. I can't tell. It's a little bit of both. But yes, congratulations, Stefan Savic.
Yes, congrats to Stefan. We do drag him every now and then, but he's... He's
not getting... undeservingly, no. I will say.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Not undeservingly.
Yeah, so, yeah, good job. Good job, Stefan Savic. I have no idea. So Stefan Savic is one of those players that I could either see leaving this summer or staying at Atletico until he retires. I just have no idea which way it's going to go. He may just stick around in, like, the back of the cabinet for, like, the next 10 years. Just, like, that old box of, like, pasta that you never ate and it just sits there
because it never expires.
Exactly. Yeah. Stefan Savic can keep doing Stefan Savic things for a long time. It's not like he's gonna get any slower.
I wouldn't bet on that. Much as we drag Stefan, you know, he's fine, you know, he's been 100 games is pretty good, so congrats to him. Definitely, congratulations are in order for the Montenegrin. Let's talk Europa League before we head on out of here. Sporting are in a pretty interesting place right now, would you say?
Yeah, man, it makes you glad I did not have a crazy owner.
Yeah. So what had happened was after Thursday, after the first leg on Thursday, Sporting's president just went completely bonkers. Called out Mathieu and Quatez for, you know, instead of playing with 11, we played with 9. Pretty much saying they cost them the win, calling out the players' effort. So the players, naturally, defended themselves. I think really Patricio took, one of their captains, took to Instagram And, you know, he defended himself, and like 18 other players liked and shared the post. Sporting's president suspended all 19 players.
Yeah.
But then
way to prepare for a second leg, huh?
Then he ended up reinstating them, though. That's the twist.
Yeah, and they did actually play.
Yeah, and they played yesterday. They beat Pasos de Ferreira 2-0. Bastos and Brian Ruiz scoring the goals. Bastos is suspended for the second leg, as Sporting's president was kind enough to point out. He said he didn't want to play the second leg because he got himself suspended. So Bastos will not play on Thursday. Fabio Contra was also out. He picked up a yellow card. But otherwise, I think we'll see, pretty much, relatively speaking, this same kind of team. William Carvalho may or may not play. He had to come off at the end of the first half due to injury in the first leg. But, yeah, so it looks like, I wouldn't say all's well that ends well, because there's probably still some hurt feelings there. But you'd make Atletico favorites to go through still.
It doesn't seem like Sporting really have a whole lot to play for. I don't think this is really the best way to motivate your players, but yeah. So that has made me quite a bit more confident about the second leg.
It is at the very least, very unorthodox motivation.
Yes. It's one way to do it. Maybe not one I would recommend.
Yeah. 538 have Atletico as 97% to make the semifinals. 97% chance to make the semifinals.
I'd go along with that.
Giving Sporting just a 3% chance. A 3% chance of advancing. They say Atletico are 47% favorites to win on Thursday in Lisbon at the Alvalade. 29% to draw. You score a goal and this tie is over. Get an away goal and it's done. Sporting will need to score four times.
Yeah, I don't think there's much hope in it for them. Because I think even if they go all out on the counterattack, Atletico will rip them apart.
Yep. So.
So.
Yeah, let's kind of think about the team that Simeone might put out there. I think Vrsaljko is going to play. He was in the team for the derby,
yep.
But Juan Fran started. So I think Vrsaljko is going to play. Jimenez, we'll see if he plays or not.
Yeah, and touch and go on that one.
Yeah, he was in the stands for the derby, but obviously not fit enough to play yet, hasn't received the clearance yet. Costa and Griezmann up top, most likely. Betcha we will see Gabby starting.
Yeah, maybe Correa again.
Came off the bench. Correa, if Simeone really wanted to go for the kill, he'd start both Correa and Vitolo, but I don't think he'll do that.
No, I don't think he will.
But if he really wanted to, he could.
I'd like to see him play Sergi at left back so Lucas could either rest or play at center back, but I don't have much hope of that happening.
And Sergi is fit. He did start at the weekend.
So that'd be nice, but I don't know.
If it were 3-0, I think Cholo would do it if it were 3-0. At 2-0, there's still like a tiny, tiny chance. Just, you know,
yeah.
Go for the kill early and, you know, knock this thing out.
Well, who knows? Who knows? It'll be an interesting, but I don't think it'll be too difficult of a match for him.
I wouldn't think so, and then we'll have the semifinal draw on Friday. So, what's your prediction for the second leg?
I think it'll be 1-1. I think they may score and think they have a chance, and then Atletico hit them on the counterattack, and they'll be over.
I will go with a 2-1 Atletico win.
There you go.
Yeah, I think Sporting will get one here. They arguably deserved one at the very end of the first leg, but Freddy Montero just blasted it over the bar.
Yeah, they played okay, but I don't think there's much chance in it for him in the second leg.
Yeah, that was the thing. Like, I didn't understand what Bruno de Carvalho, Sporting's president, like, I get he was upset, I get he's passionate, but Sporting really didn't play that badly.
Yeah, I didn't think they were awful.
No.
That was strange to me.
They were terrible defensively. They made so many errors at the back, but they were fine. They found space going forward. They had a few decent chances. You know, Yelson Martins had that 1v1. Montero had that chance at the very end. I didn't think they were that bad, but, you know. All right.
Yeah, I mean, neither of us are experts on Sporting, so we'll just leave their internal matters to them. But yeah, I thought that was weird as well.
We'll defer. We'll defer on that one.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else before we do the bonus pod?
I think that is all from a very eventful week.
Very. We are going to do the aforementioned rumor roundup bonus pod, but before we do that, it's time for my big announcement.
Oh, yes.
Time for the big announcement. Next week's Colchonero Chat. Thank you for the drum roll. Next week's Colchonero Chat will be a Patreon exclusive. The whole thing.
An exclusive.
That's right. The whole show. Covering Atletico's game against Levante. It'll be a Colchonero Chat Patreon exclusive. So if you want to listen to Colchonero Chat 110 next week, you're going to have to do so on the Patreon page. You can become a Colchonero Chat amigo for as little as $1 a month, and that will give you access to next week's pod. Yay! How exciting.
Huzzah!
Huzzah indeed. So that's the big announcement. So if you're going to be looking for the pod next week on Into the Calderon, if you're going to be looking for it elsewhere, you're going to be disappointed when you don't find it, and it's only on the Patreon page. So if you want to listen to next week's pod, get on over to patreon.com/ColchNarrowChat. Become a Colchonero Chat amigo for as little as $1 a month. Otherwise...
And you will be an amigo to us.
Absolutely. You will be a very valued member of the Colchonero Chat community. In the meantime, that's Rob Walker. You can follow him on Twitter at rwalk03. You can follow me on Twitter at jbbaron. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon. Like ITC on Facebook at facebook.com/, you guessed it, Into the Calderon. Subscribe and listen to Colchonero Chat on your favorite podcasting platform, including Apple Podcasts. Please leave a rating and a review if you have not done so. It helps us to get more eyes and ears on the program. And makes us happy and makes you one step closer to becoming a Colchonero Chat amigo. Yay!
Yes, soon you shall have a plaque on the Walk of Fame.
Yeah, I'll start making plaques and putting them in the walls of my apartment.
Yeah, there you go. If Stefan Savage can have one, you too can have one.
Yeah, I'll make one for amigos like Van Selby. He's a $5 patron. Yeah, he might get one. We'll see.
One day, if one of us learns how to make things out of metal.
Yeah, I'm not
unlikely.
I'm not that good with my hands.
Yeah, no, me neither.
All right, we will catch you next week. Until then, adios.